This week, a couple called Dave and Carol Martin from Scotland attended a news conference to be given a cheque for just over £33 million. The National Lottery had rolled over 14 times in a row, bringing the jackpot to a record £66 million. The Martins only won half of it, but I doubt they were complaining. The world is full of schemes to let you get rich quick. The National Lottery is only one of them. Websites you can visit, investment schemes you can join. Call this number. It'll only take you an hour a week. There's no risk involved. Buy this ticket, this scratch card. Oh, and let's face it, who doesn't like the idea of inheriting vast sums of money? With little effort and no risk. They say that money won't make you happy, but most people would be willing to give it a try to find out. This morning, we are going to think about the question, where do we get money from? We are in the second of five sermons, looking at what the Bible has to say about the subject of money. Last week, we asked the question, what is money? And if you weren't here, you can catch that up on our website. Today, our subject is earning money. Often we want to know whether a particular area of life is our responsibilities or God's responsibility. And we find the Bible's answer is both. For example, whose job is it to make sure that you stay a Christian for the rest of your life? Is it God's job to do that or your job to do that? Answer, both. The book of Jude tells you that God will keep you from falling. And the book of Jude also tells you to keep yourself in God's love. It's the same here. Ask the Bible where money comes from and you get two answers. It comes from God and it comes from us, both. So the first answer is that we need to trust God. Here is Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God will look after his people. We must trust him. But that is only the first answer. The other answer is that we get our money from hard work. And that is where our Bible reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 comes in. The Apostle Paul gave the church this rule. It's in verse 10. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. This is how we get the money we need to buy food. We do a good, hard day's work. There's an important flip side to this for those of us who employ other people. One reason that people work is because they need to eat. James, the brother of Jesus, warns the people of his day who have got themselves rich by failing to pay their staff properly. Here's James chapter 5, verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. We should not be idle, and if others work for us, we should pay them properly. Where does money come from? Trust God. He will give you what you need and work hard. But if we're going to say that we work in order to earn enough money, then we need to qualify that very carefully. And here are the two things we must be very careful to say. Firstly, there is more to work than money. More to work than money. That is to say, work is about more than just the money we are paid. We work because we are made in God's image. Jesus taught in John chapter 5 that God is a working God. It's why Jesus went around healing the sick and giving life to the dead. But it's also why we work. But turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. It's page 3 in our Bibles, although there's no page number at the top of page 3. It's the page before page 4. Genesis chapter 1. bottom of the page there. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So what does it mean to be in God's image, in God's likeness? Well, we read on. So that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God is in charge of this world, but he exercises his control by asking us to look after the world for him. And so God goes on in verse 28, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground. The world needs to be ruled, subdued, tamed. There needs to be order out of chaos. And so we work, providing structure, order, beauty, making this world the best it can possibly be. And as we do that, we do God's work. So it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher, drive the bin lorry, raise your children, are a hairdresser, an architect, a builder, or a driving instructor. We work to subdue and rule the earth, and we work because we are made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 is only the first chapter of the Bible. By Genesis chapter 3, we'd blown it. We sinned, and so we are cursed. And part of the curse is that work is now painful. Verse 17 of Genesis 3, over the page on page 6, top of page 6. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food. That in the Bible is where you find a description of commuting on the Victoria line. Work is now painful, and so it's hard work. But we're still in God's image, and we still need to eat, and so for both of those reasons, we still work. There is more to work than money. This is why unemployment is such a serious problem in our society. It is not just about the loss of income. It's about the loss of dignity. We were made to work. Part of what it means to be human is to have something useful to do with our hands. So to be unemployed is to be robbed of the chance to live a full human life. And again, we see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which Hilary read for us. The problem in Thessalonica was not forced unemployment, but idleness. And yet again, the lack of income was only part of the problem. So here is verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. These people weren't filling their time with hard work. So with too much time on their hands and not enough to do, they passed their days in idle chatter and interfering with other people's affairs. We need to work, but not just because we need the money. Here's the test question for us. What would you do if you suddenly found yourself with enough to live on for the rest of your life and you no longer needed to work? The Bible is teaching that that earning money is only one reason why we work, but it's not the only reason. So just because you don't need the money anymore doesn't mean that we don't work. Last week, I quoted from ABBA's song about money. And here is one line from that song. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. The Bible says no, that's not what we do. More realistically, most of us will never have to decide how to fill our time once we inherit a vast fortune. I'm sorry to say that in case I've just burst your bubble. if you need help knowing how to spend a fortune that you are about to inherit, do talk to me later. I've got some suggestions for you. We will have to work out how to spend our retirement. You leave your paid job. The exhaustion of 9 to 5, or more realistically these days, 7 to 7, if you're lucky, is behind you. But what's next? Well, for some people, it's endless rounds of golf. Never understood that one. And endless foreign holidays. That appeals a little bit more. The Bible says that we are made in God's image, so we should seek out useful work for ourselves. There is more to work than money. Well, just in case you got lost, let me recap where we are. Where does money come from? That's our question this morning. Number one, we trust God. Number two, we work hard. But in saying that we work hard, there's a danger that we think this is the only reason we work. But work is part of what it means to be made in God's image. There is more to work than money. There's one more misunderstanding that we must guard against. Not only is there more to work than money, there is more to life than work. There is more to life than work. Yes, really. God gave his people a wonderful gift. It was called the Sabbath. The weekly rhythm of 6 days in which to do our work and then one in which to rest. To rest, to worship, to celebrate God's goodness and his blessings. And whenever the Bible talks about work, Sabbath is never far away. For example, I mentioned John chapter 5. Jesus works because God his Father is always at work. But the background for that whole conversation is the Sabbath. Jesus was being criticized for working on the Sabbath. So the question in John chapter 5 is, how does work fit into a world where God has given us the Sabbath? Or let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. There we saw that God made us in his image, which is why we work. Ruling and subduing the earth for him. God made human beings on day 6. Day 6 is not the climax of the creation story. The climax is day 7. And that comes in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The climax of the story is day 7. God finishes his work of creating and he rests. And the message of the rest of the Bible is that God invites us to join him in his rest. The work he gives us to do can honour God, but it is to be done against the backdrop of the fact that we are first and foremost worshipping creatures made to know, love and treasure God. The Bible numbers the days of the week. Sunday is day 1. Monday is day 2. So on. Saturday is day 7. And so the Jewish people, even today, have their Sabbath on Saturday, day 7. But Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday morning, as the Gospels tell us, early on the first day of the week. So early Christians moved the day when they gather to worship to a Sunday. Now we start the week with worship. We don't work our way through Monday to Saturday and collapse in a heap on a Sunday. We start our week in worship as the people of God, and then our worship extends into the rest of the week as we serve God in our work. Our work is energized by our worship. Our work is itself an act of worship. And so there is more to life than work. First and foremost, we are worshiping creatures, and our work is the outflow of that. Well, let's draw things together. How do we get money? We trust God. We work. And because we live in a fallen world, it's hard work. Last week we looked at both capitalism and socialism. Both in their own way, we said, are prone to forget that God owns everything and that we are accountable as individuals for the things he has entrusted to us. But both capitalism and socialism are also prone to measure a person's value by what they own, or by what they earn, or by what they might contribute to the economy as a worker. The Bible completely inverts that. Our value as human beings comes from the fact that we are made in God's image. First and foremost, we were made to worship him, to love him, to treasure him, to delight in him. And from that worship flows our trust that he will provide for our needs. And from that worship flows the work that we do in his name, to tend his world and to provide for our needs. So where does money come from? There are twin dangers to avoid. Idle and idol. I-D-L-E and I-D-O-L. We are not idle, we work hard. But neither do we make money or work our idol. We worship God.